today's episode is a little different, but hopefully in a great way. Inspired by my kids' current obsession with the reality show Survivor, and I realize we are quite tardy to the party on this one since the show has 48 seasons at this point, I talk through the theme of control relating parts of Survivor to loss. Whether or not you are a fan of Survivor, I hope you enjoy today's show. Sometimes death is an unexpected slap in the face, and sometimes it's a long, winding process, but it's always inevitable. My name is Val Amsden, and I am your host of This Side of the Grass. I have learned from experience of losing close loved ones that not many people are comfortable talking about dying, and the majority of people have not planned for this certainty. On this podcast, I hope to normalize conversations about dying, not only so we can be prepared, but more importantly, so that we can truly live every single day with purpose and intention that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad to have you here on This Side of the Grass. I'm your host, Val Amsden. If you are new to the show, a huge welcome and hello to you. And this is my way, this podcast. It's my way of trying to help normalize conversations about death and dying because it is scary to think about. It's hard to talk about, but we all do need to. Today's episode has been brewing for a bit in my mind, and it sort of came together just in the last few days, and I'm actually hoping that this one is a little more lighthearted, that you enjoy it, because how often can we say that talking about death and dying is enjoyable? But before we begin, as always, I would love for you to reach out to me with any questions or comments or show topics or ideas or guests that you might want me to chat with. My email is val@thissidepodcast.com. val@thissidepodcast.com. And we've got some amazing guests lined up in the upcoming weeks. It has been a minute since we've had some guests in the studio, so I'm excited for that to come as well. Okay, so about a year ago, it was spring break of 2024, and my family and I traveled to Florida to visit my brother and his family, my younger brother, and they got us hooked on a reality show, and I'm not really a reality TV show person, but in the time that we were together, they introduced us to a show called Traitors, T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, Traitors. If you have watched the show, you know how addicting it is, but essentially it's reality stars in a castle and they are competing for a pool of money that they continue to build this pot of money by doing challenges. But amongst all of the people at the castle, few of them, you don't know how many if you're participating, we as the audience watching, we know that a handful, two or three, sometimes four, of these participants are traitors. And at night, they murder someone, and the rest of the people there have to get a traitor out before they get murdered. The last one standing wins. Unless a traitor is still there and they haven't been voted out, then they win the money. Anyway, it's an addicting show. It's super enjoyable and entertaining. And because it is made up of participants that have been on other reality shows, we, my family and I, started getting very curious about a lot of other reality shows that have been around for a long time, like Big Brother, The Real Housewives. But the one that caught our attention the most was Survivor. Okay, we are 40 plus seasons into Survivor at this point. The show came out in the early 2000s. So this has been a long time coming for me to even be interested in watching Survivor. I never had before, but there was a woman from Minnesota, and she actually grew up near my husband and his family in the northern part of the Twin Cities metro. And her name is Carolyn Weegar. And you may remember Carolyn from either Traitors or Survivor. Very outspoken, but authentically herself. And she ended up in the top three of her season. And we watched her on Traitors specifically because my husband had this connection with just knowing her family from growing up. They had gone to the same school. And even though she was a little younger, he said, oh, hey, that's Carolyn, as we started watching Traitors. So after we finished as many seasons as we could of Traitors, we started going down this rabbit hole of watching Survivor. And we started with Carolyn's season. And we learned about Boston Rob and Parvati. And we started watching different seasons of Survivor. Some of them were quite old. And as we were even watching on our big TV, my kids, who are 10, 12, and 15, were just absolutely appalled at the quality of the show we were watching, which made it really hilarious, especially the seasons from the mid-2000s. But as I was watching Survivor, and the girls, especially my girls, keep asking to try other seasons, and they're watching, I don't even know which season they're on right now. But as we're bouncing around with different seasons of Survivor, this theme started to emerge in my mind as I was watching the show, thinking about life, going through my own health and fitness journey, watching friends struggle with either health issues or their parents having health issues or other struggles that are coming up, and this concept and theme of control. So as I go through today's episode, if you haven't ever watched Survivor, today's episode may not be for you. But if you love Survivor or you've watched it before, hopefully this will be a little fun because I want to dissect Survivor and the pieces of Survivor and how that relates to life, specifically when it comes to our illusion of control. Because at the end of the day, most of the things that we feel are in our control really are not. And this has to do with living, and it also has to do potentially with dying. We can't control the weather. We can't control the other person driving on the other side of the freeway towards us. We can't control what happens maybe in the political climate, for example. So the world feels very out of control, and our lives might feel very out of control. So I just want to tie this to Survivor today in a little bit of a lighthearted way, but to give you just something to think about as we go about our day-to-day lives and the things that we can control. So at the beginning of each season of Survivor, these castaways are put into tribes. They cannot choose their tribes. They have no control over which tribes they join. And the strongest players are those that adapt quickly without trying to control too aggressively. So as you see these players coming in, they oftentimes either swim or take a boat in and they come up the beach and they're put on these towels for their different tribes and they're sizing each other up. And the ones that tend to stick out are the ones that are real vocal, and it doesn't always rub people the right way. But there is no control as to where you start. You just have to adapt. And in life, this is like our families or our communities, our states, our countries. As children, we have very little control over our environment. And as we grow and develop, we do have some choices, maybe the career path that we choose to follow, relationships and where they go, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships, where we live. Some of this is in our control, but it's more in adapting, maybe not so much choosing. And as the contestants then come up on the beach, they're separated into their tribes. The next piece of this show is about daily life and survival. So they don't have any external resources. They have to master their surroundings. They have to make fire. They have to somehow create a shelter. They have to figure out food and who potentially controls the food supply. And it seems like the contestants who provide for the tribe, they start to gain some social capital in a way, or they potentially hold it over others, but those that control the food supply or can maybe go fishing or can climb a tree and get coconuts, a lot of those players, start to be able to have a little bit more control in the game, but there's that lack of control when it comes to not having resources. And in life, we have our own version of basic needs. Income, health, our homes. The people who seem to be the most successful, I guess you could say, in life often start by mastering these daily rhythms or routines, building emotional shelters, if you will. And when this comes to thinking about what's eventually going to come with our deaths or dying, we may not have ultimate control over that, but we can make daily choices that can make each day the best it can be. So from one day to the next, even on Survivor, they might have a lot of fish. Well, those fish don't really last. You got to eat them now. Well, maybe they don't catch any fish the next day. So every day is just a little different, just like in life. The third part of Survivor has to do with the challenges. So these contestants and the tribes, when they are still multiple tribes, they compete against one another. And if they win, you can control your fate. If you lose, anybody can go home and individual control is pretty much lost at that point. Later in the game, these challenges do become individual and that strength of the player, the fortitude gets tested, as at that point, it's every man or woman competing for him or herself. So it begins as a tribal challenge and you compete and the losing tribe has to vote one of their tribe mates out. Once they're together as one and there's individual competitions, you control your fate. So sometimes in life we win, sometimes we lose, and oftentimes it's the choices that we make that take us down one path or another, and then it becomes often about that fortitude. In life, as in Survivor, you don't always win, even when you work hard. And the tension between the effort and the outcome is where people oftentimes really wrestle. But it still comes down to those daily decisions, the awareness that precedes change, as we've talked about before. The little things that we can do, what we eat, how we move our body, when we go to bed, when we stop scrolling for the night, what we read, what we watch, all of those things we can control. So ultimately, on Survivor, the losing tribe goes to tribal council. And the power and the control, or lack thereof, that control is in the form of voting. So the ultimate control and where the gameplay of this, it's a TV show, right? It's a game. So this gameplay is especially strong when it comes to tribal council. And everybody that's there at tribal council has to vote out one person. And majority wins. So this is manipulation. There's alliances. There are deals being made. But control is a perception. And the tribal councils that are the most memorable are when players that feel safe are completely blindsided by a vote of the majority and they're gone. So in life, this to me feels like the control that we take of our health. We can eat right, we can drink water, we can go to the gym, we can sleep well, but that control is also sometimes an illusion because the ultimate tribal council can be our body and things that happen that sometimes blindside us. And another outside factor related to tribal council is how others perceive us, right? We perceive and oftentimes fear rejection and may not be authentic to ourselves, to others. And this is where my family and I, we really loved watching Carolyn's season because she was true to herself. She was very authentic. She spoke her mind. She did cry. She was truly herself while still smartly playing the game. So there were things that she could control, being her authentic self, and things that she couldn't, which was the votes of others. The next piece of the game of Survivor are hidden advantages and immunity idols, and that is control without others knowing. So whether you find an idol or you earn an idol or you find an advantage, those pieces aren't always shared with the rest of the group. It becomes again about that personal responsibility and the fortitude and what do you tell and what's a secret in your gameplay. And in life, potentially this could be taking care of our body and our health, because those are pieces that we get to decide, right? Those advantages, how often we move our body and do we go to the gym? But it's not necessarily something that we broadcast typically, but it can change the tides of our outcome, our bodies. And this could also be safety nets. So those hidden advantages and immunity idols on Survivor could be related to life, like the safety nets that we have, potentially savings accounts or backup plans. When it comes to death and dying, we could relate this to our planning documents, our wills, our trusts, our planning for those that are potentially left behind should something happen to us first. But sometimes clutching too tightly to these safety nets can isolate us or make us risk averse. And you see this in the gameplay of Survivor. So it's about finding that balance between being available and participating, but also knowing when to hold back. In Survivor, when those two tribes come together, it's called the merge. And you always hear these players saying, I just want to make it to the merge. And it changes the gameplay. And these outside forces, they don't know when it's happening, but the outside forces of two tribes becoming one resets the game of Survivor. There's different alliances potentially. They're getting to know new people. Others that they've seen compete in different challenges are now direct competitors. So it completely resets the game. This to me in life is when you experience something that kicks you off center. And these are the things that I've talked about in many of my previous episodes. These are the health issues. These are the major events in your life. Could be good or bad. It could be a wedding. It could be a birth of a child. But related to death and dying, I absolutely feel that your game of life is reset when you lose a close loved one or have close personal loss. The game changes, and it potentially gives you a perspective change. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe it's a move or something else that has to be shifted or changed. So when it comes to the merge on Survivor, the whole game changes and you're still there, but it almost doesn't matter what's happened up to that time. You have to completely reset how you think about the game. And that happens in life when you have one of these major events. The next piece that comes to play as there get to be fewer and fewer people remaining in the game of Survivor as they are voted out, they become part of the jury. And you lose control in the game as you join the jury because you've been voted out and you're no longer playing to try and win the $1 million as the sole survivor. But the power is now yours to vote for the winner. Maybe this is a little bit of a stretch, but in my mind, this is how aging works. As we get closer and closer to our own death, as we do every single day, but as we start to truly and really acknowledge our mortality, as we are older, we can now influence others in our lives. It becomes less about us and more about others. Could be our siblings, our kids, or even our grandkids. But we start to think about the power that we have over ourselves becomes less and less, but we can have more influence over others. And then that final tribal council. So when it's down to the last two or three players, every season's a little bit different. The last two or three have control through just narrative. They have to convince the jury, all of these people who have been voted out that no longer can win the money, they have to convince the jury to vote for them. It's no longer the remaining contestants voting off each other. The jury votes for who they want to win. So as they're trying to convince the jury, they're also potentially reframing betrayals or negative behavior, trying to make it seem strategic. And this in life is the realization that we truly have so little in our control. As I mentioned at the start of the show, it could be the weather. It could be when you're driving in traffic. It could be how others behave outside of you, but impactful on you. There's just so much ultimately that's outside of our control. But just like the game of Survivor, it's not just what we did. It's how we made others feel. So I noticed this as it came down to the final 2 to 3 contestants, specifically on Carolyn's season. It was the first one that we ever watched. And we didn't know to compare it to any other final tribal councils. But when we watched it, it was so overwhelmingly positive. It was Carolyn and the other two contestants. And as the jury came up, they get the opportunity to ask questions or to make comments. And almost every single comment was so positive about how much they loved each of those three and how hard it was going to be to vote for one of them because each of them had been authentic in his or her own way. And I loved seeing that because they made those that were voted off still feel that kinship and that positivity towards them. That's not how it normally is on Survivor, which we didn't know when we watched that season. But as we watched, especially seasons with Boston Rob, which you may not know who he is. If you like Survivor, he has made a career out of the game show of Survivor, which is pretty respectable. It's pretty impressive. He even met his wife, Amber, on one of the seasons. But the way the jury would speak to other remaining 2 or 3 contestants in some of the older seasons that we watched, it was so negative and so mean and so harsh. And it really does remind you that others will remember how you made them feel. And ultimately, the last part of Survivor is that sole survivor, the winner. So they either maintained control during the show or they strategically let go of control at the right times and then reclaimed it when it counted. And this is so delicate, both in Survivor and in life. It's also the understanding that control really is an illusion, but agency is real. We will always have the agency, the ability to choose our attitude, our responses, our next steps. And it's been super fun to dissect Survivor as a TV show in a way. But really, Survivor is a mirror of real life. And every layer of control in Survivor speaks to something deeper about the human experience. It's especially true in how we try to find security, identity, and power in a world, a game for Survivor. But in life, it's in a world where there's so much that's uncertain. And if you can continue to focus on the agency that you do have, the choices that you do have, showing up, doing the work, how you respond when everything feels out of control, that is how you can be successful. And when it comes to the planning and the preparation for loss and for death, we can't control. We don't know when it is that we're going to die. We have no idea. But what we can control is that preparation piece and thinking about it and talking about it and trying to normalize these conversations so that your loved ones do know what you want and vice versa if you were to die, especially unexpectedly. And we know that death and dying is the ultimate end of the game of life, right? So my hope today and always, through a little more lighthearted approach today, but my hope is always to help you feel less alone in this journey and in this game of life. And I know it is not comfortable to think about dying, but remember that these action items, these conversations are so important. And it's not because we want to die, but just the opposite, so that we can truly live every single day that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass with purpose and intention. Thank you for listening.
This Side of the Grass is a Divine Fox production. All thoughts and information shared on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as legal, financial, psychological, or any other professional advice.